See, this is the type of podcast you gotta have.
This is Legends of Sport.
Hi, this is Bob Miller.
This is Gary Payton.
Bill Walton here.
It just captivated everybody. Even the players, the same thing. It wasn't just the fans, but players on other teams was like, wow, right?
It's bringing the experience of getting to know athletes as well as I do over the years. You know, the good and the bad, because that's life. And we remember these iconic athletes for what they accomplished on the field or on the court or on the ice or wherever.
Be sure to check out Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Legends of Sport, Podcast One. Wow.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you.
Yeah, man.
What you got, Drew?
So I told you yesterday that I wanted to bring up this period of history that I think it's having a lingering effect on everybody, partly because it's sort of hidden from view.
I'm all ears.
And I got exposed to it reading the Ulysses S. Grant biography by Ron Chernow. And it is really the post-Civil War period, like the 10 years after the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
when – I don't know if you know how horrible Reconstruction was. I mean,
no.
African-American citizens were literally slaughtered every day all over the South in these gigantic sort of spasms of violence, and especially when it came to keeping them out of the voter's box and things like that. And Ulysses S. Grant, there was still warfare going on for years after Appomattox, where Grant had to send down troops constantly to protect black people from the Southern, which essentially vigilante, you know, sort of guerrilla groups. The KKK started,
I saw Django Unchained.
No.
I know the lay of the land.
No, this is long after. The KKK was not an anti-racist group. It was a military guerrilla group to fight to keep the war going. It just they took it out on the black because they were – going into office now, and they were citizens, and they were Republicans. They were all Republicans, and these guys were all Democrats. And it was a period of such violence. Frederick Douglass, you know, the famous,
sure.
famous African-American.
My three sons.
He said, look, he goes, we gave up the lash for a shotgun. He goes, the lash was better. Frederick mm-hmm. Douglass saying this. Right. That's how bad things got.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for a decade where people were not safe walking in the streets. I think that period was so traumatic and so a shaming to us as a country that its echoes are still with us and we don't realize it. I think that's
I would be down with your findings if we didn't have long periods of like sort of less tension, less strife, and less turmoil.
Well, I would argue the Jim Crow laws were the outcome of all that when the Democrats took back over the South and Republicans were essentially just murdered and run out of town. But the – you know how intergenerational trauma is transmitted across generations, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's because there's a peaceful well-being time. The trauma is still transmitted through for several more generations. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, the
– how's this – what happened to Charlize Theron?
Well, that's what I want to know. I want to know what she was exposed to and who said something or what that was.
She turns on the news.
Maybe. That's your theory. No. You may be right.
She wasn't thinking this way 10 years ago in this country.
I'm just wondering what she saw or felt or who said something to her. I'm wondering what that was. I'd love to know. That's all I'm saying. If it's more than the news, we're both making assumptions. I'm assuming maybe it's more than the news. You're assuming it's exclusively the news.
No, she had.
I get what you're saying.
She dealt with things growing up, for sure
in South Africa.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
But why does she say it's getting worse in this country? Read the line.
We can't deny it. I wouldn't travel certain areas if this continues.
Drew, read the top line of her statement, please. The one that's at the top.
It's much more alive and well than people thought.
Okay.
Not that it's getting worse. It's just always been around. It's worse than you thought. Can't deny it.
Much more alive and well.
Than we thought.
I would argue that if you say much more alive and well, you're basically saying And I know you said then we thought, but much more alive and well means it's on the move or it's much more prevalent than we think. That's what she's saying.
Yeah, and has always been, is what she's saying.
Well, I think people didn't think that way 10 years ago, and she didn't think that way 10 years ago. When you say much more alive and well than we thought, you're semantically correct, I guess, sort of technically, but the feeling in the statement is saying it's on the rise. That's
well, she's
what
either
you're saying.
She's either saying it's on the rise or I had no idea and I didn't think about it and it's alive and well. It had more than I thought.
She's saying you thought this thing was tamped down.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you it's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's which is kind of, look, we're saying the same thing,
yeah.
Which is it's here. It's on the rise.
Yeah.
All right.
It's on the move.
Thank you.
But it's
where do you think she learned that?
I'm just so curious. I'm so curious.
So curious? It's called turning on the news every single night and being beaten over the head with these stories, Drew. That's where she learned it. What do you think? She watches Tucker Carlson every night or she watches Rachel Maddow and gets hit over the head with we have a president who's called racist every single night on every single news outlet. How would you not have this feeling? Comey gets interviewed and talks about how he's scared for the future, scared for this nation. I mean, how could you walk away with any other feeling than that if you turn on the news?
Right.
We're being crushed by it, and I don't think it's helping the collective psyche of our hot actresses.
You know how bad my mood's been lately.
I'm telling you.
Maybe that's it.
You are being – it is – when I was talking to you about the food pyramid and getting hit over the head with that, we're now being hit over the head with this, and we're acting accordingly. All right. Now, what you talked about, Jim Crow and before and all that,
yeah.
Of course that's a factor. But I would also
But I think we sort of live in the notion that it's slavery. It's slavery that really is the issue. And I'm saying, no, there's a period here that was so horrible that we just have sort of sponged out of the history book that really I think if we brought it into consciousness might help us. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I agree. But I also agree that there are many, many groups historically throughout the world who've had horrible atrocities committed in their names.
Your people still practice a ritual every year where they romanticize something that happened in Egypt 3,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Exodus?
No, the Passover.
Oh, the Passover.
They ritualize the trauma every year. It was so traumatic that they made a ritual.
How many my people? You're joking.
Yeah.
But listen, it's confusing because I'm half Italian, so I'm trying to figure out what the Italians did. Thank God the Corollas never did anything.
Yeah.
I'm saying I think there is a more productive path to this and convincing every black 6-year-old that there's a target on their back and we live in a racist nation and the president's out to get them is not great for their psyche. You want to talk about trauma, Drew?
Yeah.
Talk about traumatizing a kid?
Yeah. Listen,
feed them that line.
I am all for psychological reframing.
Look, the thing about Charlize Theron, if there's places you won't take your kids,
tell us. First of all, I want to know where that is.
You want to know why she can't tell you where? Does anyone know why Charlize Theron cannot tell you where she wouldn't travel in this country? And by the way, why not, again, share it with us in case Matt and I are planning a vacation to this part of the world or Gary's thinking about his honeymoon over there?
You can withhold your money.
Why do you think Charlize Theron and whoever, once they're done explaining what a racist nation we're living in, and explains that there's places aren't safe to go to and blah, blah, blah. Why do you think they never name the place? Gary?
Because they've never not gone somewhere?
That's true. They've never changed their behavior based on a racist nation. All right. They never not got on an airplane. Private jet, probably. Matt?
They don't believe what they're saying.
Another very good point. Drew? Your chance to crap on everyone's point and for me to give you a tongue lashing and then move on?
She would not have an answer if we asked her where.
Yeah. You want to know why?
She's never been there.
No.
Doesn't exist?
No. The answer to why she doesn't know where that racist place is, that she couldn't take her kids, Rachel Maddow never told her. And neither did the senator that was bloviating about what a racist nation we're living in. And Maxine Waters never took a pin and put it on the map. They talked about the racist nation. They talked about Trump. They talked about the racism that's it's endemic and systematic and everything. But they never brought up the name of the city that you shouldn't go to. None of them, ever. So what has she got? Well, she got the message that we're living in a horrible racist nation. But she doesn't have the specifics, because guess who never talks in terms of specifics? The folks that are bloviating. See what I'm saying? Well, that's part of bloviating.
Yeah.
Is never. And let me explain the problem with giving an. Let me explain the problem with giving an example. You know what the problem with giving an example? Second you give an example, we get to go look up statistics and crime statistics and find out there was hate crimes and that thing. And now you're screwed.
Yeah.
Better just to generally bloviate.
Well, it's funny. I told you Ryan Holiday. Have we aired the Ryan Holiday podcast yet, Gary? Maybe. He was saying that all the bloviating and the attacks on Trump and Comey and all this stuff, that he's like a resistant bacteria. That eventually when you throw everything at everybody all the time, something emerges that's just resistant, mm-hmm. like a bacteria that's resistant to all the antibiotics you keep throwing at it because you've just overdone it. You've overdone it, and then it's nothing. Then nothing.
Well, look, that is a very human. There's nothing truer than the boy who cried wolf. And if you know that story, it is human wiring, and it's the same. We're all that way. It's all. Look, you can turn on Sean Hannity, or you can turn on Rachel Maddow, and at the top of both their shows is like, oh man, breaking bombshell news coming out of Washington. It's like every day there's a bombshell.
The hair is on
both,
fire.
Both sides are both. And then so now you hear breaking bombshell news, and it could be Hannity, and it could be Rachel Maddow, but you're not, nothing happens.
What do you make
anymore,
of the
right?
Michael Cohen thing? The attorney and the, I don't know what the hell to make of all that. It's so bizarre. The guy's only represents three clients, neither of which pay him, and neither of which did he take instruction from, but he'll mortgage his house for you just to protect you. Is that just the way Garagos and his buddies operate? You know what I mean?
Look, if you took 2 days out of Garagos' life, weekdays, and just read them. about payments were made in jewelry and stuff like that. I mean,
watches.
You cannot be in a certain tax bracket, have a certain lifestyle, and not have a whole cavalcade of things that sound
crazy,
seedy, or shadowy, or you know. And of course, all you have to do is go. He says he never met the Sultan of Brunei, but here he is with a picture. We unearthed a picture from 1989 where he was with the Sultan and 28 other people at the dinner. You know what I mean? We've highlighted his head a mere 14 feet away from where the Sultan was eating. You know, it's like, okay, I don't know. Look, here's what I'm saying. I'm sure he's up to no good. I'm sure whatever he's dealing with, whatever he's doing, you would not delight most Boy Scout leaders.
Right.
On the other hand, is it prevalent in Washington? Does everyone engage in it? Is it a two-way street that affects both sides? Is everyone doing it? And if so, I have a context and I can move forward. So when you go, hey, well, that $130,000 could have constituted a campaign
finance
a violation. Yeah. And that's okay. Obama had those too. And then you pay a fine and then you move on. Wasn't a big deal. Am I upset about what Obama did? No. Would I be upset about this? No, I'm not upset. I'm as upset as I am at Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
I'm assuming rich people who fly privately have assets and a portfolio that's a little different than ours, and they make decisions, and they have people, and the people do things, and none of it is highly surprising to me. They hire investigators. I mean, look at the average rich guy's divorce. What do you think that looks like?
Yeah.
compared to the average poor guy's divorce, right. or a middle class guy divorce. You know, many more things come out, and you go, "Oh my God, how could he? Who needs two yachts or whatever it is?" And I'm sure it's all there.
Yeah.
But I think I've basically learned that that comes with the territory. Now, I don't know who this guy is or what his deal is exactly, but the fact that he dealt in cash and he had this and he had that and he had records, all feels like pretty standard rich guy Washington, New York fare to me, right?
Yeah.
So far?
I don't understand it. I don't know it. That's why I'm wondering if somebody who lives in that world sees it as standard fare. I literally have no frame of reference at all for that kind of stuff.
I don't have much either, other than, again, I'm sure, look no further than our friend Mark Garagos.
That's what I'm saying. What he says.
Well, you start thinking about it. It's like, then it turned out one of his clients was Sean Hannity. And then Sean Hannity goes, "I've consulted the guy, but I never gave him any money. And he's not my lawyer." And then I go, "Oh God, you could definitely get me and Garagos like locked up. Here's a picture of them at Gary's wedding.
Yeah.
Looking very, very exclusive, having a cocktail together. Like, oh, God knows what they were talking about. You know,
right.
Like, yeah, you could bust into Garagos' office and find a file with my name on it, and I don't know what that would mean about me." Seems like we're throwing Garagos under the bus, but what I'm saying is if they ever found Garagos was up to God knows what, and they busted into his office, they would find some paperwork with my name on it or something in his computer. Oh, I don't know what that would make me.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Why would it be a bombshell for CNN to run with?
And then I was curious. Did you see the last week the drawing of the guy that was supposedly the guy that threatened Stormy Daniels?
Oh, they have a composite.
Yeah, you seen the guy?
There's a pretty great side by side too. I'll put up.
He looks like Mark McGrath. I mean, like exactly.
That's not what everyone else is using.
They're saying Brady. I think. Yeah. But it's just okay.
Hey, you can do a whole lot worse.
But look, it's
as a single mom.
Here's what it is: it's some kid in Las Vegas on a skateboard who was like threatening her, for sure.
I didn't know there was a composite.
Yeah, it came out recently.
Well, that's science.
Yeah,
this thing's gonna be blown wide open.
I just can't wait till they get this guy.
My favorite composite is like the Unabomber composite: 30-year-old white guy, hoodie, huge sunglasses. Jeez, now I know exactly who it is.
Looks like an ant.
It looks like any white guy under 200 pounds with a hoodie.
There he is.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, was it Brady? We don't know. Wait a minute. Brady hanging around with Kraft. Bob Kraft, pretty big Trump fan.
There you go. Las Vegas.
Okay. why don't you go get Jordan Harbinger, by the way, and I'll tell you about LifeLock. There you go, Gary. We got time. You got time. LifeLock. How much is your identity worth? According to an online security education company, the going rate's about $1,200 to hackers on the dark web. In today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in and steal your identity. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against the threats to your identity and your devices. And stuff you can't see. That's right. It's 2018. You got to take care of business, people. Protect your identity with LifeLock. If there's a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. But you're not going to have a problem because you have the industry standard. You have LifeLock, right, Drew?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code ADAM for additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off. And seeing Jordan Harbinger, who's sitting in here just now, reminds me that the Dr. Drew podcast is now being released on Tuesdays, everybody. Tuesdays instead of Mondays from now on. Tuesdays. I apologize if there's any confusion on that.
Good to see you, Jordan.
Hey, good to be here.
The Jordan Harbinger Show, new episodes every week on iTunes.
Yours come out on Monday, though, right?
Mine come out on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Uh-huh.
You're awesome, Drew.
Yeah.
You're like clairvoyant.
That's right. Got exactly right.
Good to see you, Jordan. You look happy. You look together. You look
I'm faking it as best I can, just like everybody else.
Well, let's talk about that, because earlier in the week, Drew was funkified a little. He came in here.
Still funkified most of the week, yeah.
He's dragging a little bit. I realize I feel like information is your best friend, but too much information can just kick your ass, and we're living in a time when there's information flying at us. And instead of ducking, we're opening our mouth.
And
it's flying.
And before we get into that, I also want to say that in terms of my funkification, the increasing magnanimity that Adam has been exhibiting and good spirit has been so unsettling that it has turned me a little bit more negative.
I'm getting confused
on top of feeling shitty.
But Jordan, so how do you deal with what's we're all in the grips of, and it's hard to avoid, but what is something, do you have any tricks or rules? I never bring my phone into the house, or
I wish I had those rules. Everyone, all this sort of self-help productivity gurus are all the time like, well, you got to have downtime, you got to unplug completely. And I'm thinking, that's what you write when you're writing a self-help article. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, great, but I have all this shit I got to do. I'm not turning my phone off because that's insane.
Right.
Like, I'm not really going to do that. So I do things like turn notifications off for stuff like Instagram, where it's immediately I'm going to feel bad the second I open it, because it's like, oh, look, all these people are doing things that are more fun than me, and I'm laying on my couch not talking to my friends or something like that. So I try to turn things that are just comparison machines off, like social media, but I'm not going to put my email away. I'm not going to not get texts from people. I just feel like I'm missing out.
When you're really engaged, that kind of stuff makes you high and feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's if you're actively engaged and creatively engaged and you know, sort of committed and growing and excited about what you're doing, the last thing you want to do is shut it off.
Well, I'm not saying shut off your engagement with the outside world, but I find – Drew, I'll recommend this to you.
Uh-oh.
And possibly Jordan. Uh-huh. But Jordan seems to be in fine spirits.
All right.
As you hear this podcast, I shall be going out at Road Atlanta in a vintage race. And I find myself thinking, I don't know Road Atlanta. I've never driven at Road Atlanta. It's a big, fast race course, and I was looking at some times, like what kind of times are these guys turning at Road Atlanta in my car, because yeah, that'll let you know how fast you're going. And I looked it up the other night, and I was like, oh, they're doing 148 laps, and I'm going, I do that at Laguna Seca, so there shouldn't be a problem. And then I looked at the size of Road Atlanta, and it's a lot bigger, so that means these guys are going a lot faster. And then I started thinking about harm and fear and things that can happen, and I was no longer worried about Trump or yeah, anything that James Comey was talking about or Stormy Daniels. I was thinking about myself.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking about the equipment and like how I needed to prepare the equipment. And before you know it, you just get lost in this world of like preparation and a little bit of fear and a little bit of, are we going to have, let's get the list together, because once you get there, there's no coming back for spares. You got to have it all with you. And now you're in that world. And I find that people who spend a little more time in that world seem to be happier.
Yeah, the flow state, I think, is what these sort of researchers call it, right? Where you're surfing, and so you're just engaged enough where you have to – everything else has to be blocked out. And some of us get this stuff in the shower. I'm one of those people who's like, my best ideas come in the shower or when I'm walking, because I'm engaged enough doing something where I'm not worried about like, oh, what if this other thing – oh, I gotta feed my cat. That stuff's gone. But everything else is engaged enough so that the default mode network can actually do important stuff like be creative.
But Drew, could you put yourself in harm's way a little bit? Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Like an element of I got to kind of focus here or I could get hurt. Like you do it when you sing opera.
Yeah.
You go out and you sing the
national anthem.
Star Spangled Pledge of Allegiance. Like, I was confused. You sing Yankee Doodle. You sing Grand Old Flag.
Okay.
At a Lakers game. you'd be killed by bottles. You have a grand old flag. You're a high flying flag. Come on, everyone.
Tap dancing.
All right, Trump fans only. Forever. All right. So you get this on your calendar. you circle it on your calendar like I circle a race in Road Atlanta, and now you have some fear, and you have some motivation, and you have some focus, and I would bet, nay, I'm not betting, I will assert that during this period leading up to that, you're not quite as caught up in Trump daily news.
With Gary's wedding, I was flipped out about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you married Gary and Gioia, and you had to put something together, and you had a focus. And so that's a project.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
And it has a focus. And for that time, you're a little bit free not to worry about what Stormy Daniels is up to.
Yeah.
And we need that as human beings, is what I'm saying. It could be singing in front of, at the Staples Center. It could be driving at Road Atlanta. But it gets your attention really fast. Because the second you drift off, or the second I drift off, you're going off the road. So where is that for people? You instinctively do it. You bring it upon yourself.
Yeah.
I bring it upon myself.
Yeah.
How can we get our kids to bring it upon themselves? Because they want to sit and answer tweets and get in a Twitter battle.
To challenge themselves.
Really, yes.
My kids kind of do it now.
Stop being a snob.
No, they
oh, they're so much better than my kids.
No, they do.
Jordan, what do you think of that statement?
Which statement? That your kids do it automatically? Hey, look, I'm not getting involved in that.
But what about
you?
What I said, I think I'm drilling down into something here, which is, Drew, you're happier when you have a fearful circle on your calendar.
Yep. For sure.
Most of us do, and in men and athletes and, actually everybody in general has a sort of like a wide spectrum of where the fear has to be. For you, Adam, obviously, you require more fear/adrenaline for this to kind of kick in, maybe more oxygen in the equation if we're talking about a fire. For me, I don't need to think, wow, if I screw this up, I'm going to die. Just being lost in my own neighborhood is enough for me. Like, oh, I made a wrong turn.
Right.
Good thing I'm in this flow state. I don't need to crash and burn my car in a fiery wreck
would,
to get there.
Would we – now, Drew would be happier if – 5 times a year, he could circle a scary date on his calendar.
I've got a bunch of scary stuff on my calendar. I do. I've got a bunch of speaking things that are new kinds of material I have to get into, and I'm nervous as hell about it.
Oh, good. Why don't you focus on that, then?
I'm trying. It's bumming me out a
little bit. It's a little easier said than done to just focus on that, right? Because as the proximity gets closer, but if you just write it down and you're thinking about it.
Oh, no. I have no problem with that. I'm like an obs- – because I have such bad OCD, I'll start obsessing right away. But it
gotcha.
It's not what you're talking about, though, I don't think.
Well,
I'll tell you what,
it's not a speaking gig. When you are having to get out there in front of 17,000 at the Staples Center, you are laser focused.
Yes.
It's on your mind, and you're not coming in here rumbling about CNN or Stormy Daniels. You're focused on that.
I'll tell you what now really helps me. It's like going to have to lift do a deadlift.
There you
very
go.
Heavy deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff focuses me. Like, that's actually good for me right now.
Okay, good.
During and after, you mean? Because of the endorphins and stuff like that?
It's just everything about it.
Really?
It's very pure. I have to clear my mind to do it.
Huh.
I may be listening to a podcast or something, but I'm just focused on, this thing that I could ruin my back or legs if I'm not careful. And it's uncomfortably a lot, more than I've ever done, maybe. And it requires focus. That's all.
Okay.
That's
it.
Are you dealing with the information coming in is too much and it's causing anxiety?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have to report. I'm recovering stuff on the radio every day, local news and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just very frustrating and troubling.
Drew's
stuff.
Also wired like a sponge.
Yeah.
He's wired like a sea sponge that's been soaked in douche.
Mm.
And
a douchey sponge.
He needs to be wired a little more like a handball court. And a little less like a sponge. He's always been like, what? So somebody would say, Drew, I disagree. And he'd go, what? Why? And I'd just go keep walking. I'm like, who cares? Or beat it or whatever it is. Which is, I care how other people feel as well. But not strangers. Not nobody. Not everybody. You know what I'm saying, Drew? Drew's promise, he doesn't cut it off at people he doesn't know, or the one person that wants to know why he should be dispensing this advice or disagrees with him. He's all ears to everyone all the time.
I get that, though. I think anytime you have your work out in public, I don't know about you guys. When I see the one person's email who's like, hey, you could have handled this better. There could be 1,000 emails in my inbox that are like, that was phenomenal. You crushed it. And I'll be like, great, great, great. What did I need to do better?
Yeah.
And some of it, I'd like to think, oh, it's because I'm open-minded about improving myself. But really, I'm just freaking sensitive about this opinion from this freaking stranger on the internet. And I'd love to – I thought that as I got older, that would end. And it has not ended at all.
It is better. I got the one thing that Twitter and social media has made me a little more immune to that stuff, a little more. It has to happen on a big scale for me to sort of react to it. But I was going to say something Jordan was talking about, reacting to – lost it.
All right. So that's what happens.
I hate that too.
He's addled. Hey,
reacting to the one negative thing.
Well, the one negative thing, but there was something I was going to say about it. We're sort of all sort of wired that way. That's our normal psychological sort of makeup is the valence of something negative. I mean, look, if we are seeing only good things and there's one leopard approaching, we better pay attention to that leopard.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that we're sort of wired to pick up on the negative stuff.
But I get it. And I am, you know, if I get an email from Kimmel saying like, hey, we need to talk or something, I am like, oh, shit, what happened? Yeah. What do we need to talk about? Like, it's not that I don't go like, oh, who cares? We'll settle this in a few days or maybe, I don't know. I feel very much like, oh, what's going on? But I can't have that with life.
Well,
I just have to have it with a handful of people.
Of it is our low self-esteem stuff. I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine the other day, and he goes, you and I are exactly alike. And I go, no. I go, I have very low self-esteem. He goes, huh? How's that possible? And I go, how's that possible? I feel like shit all the time. That's how I check myself. I have low self-esteem. It's okay, fine. It doesn't bother me. And he was like, disbelief. How do you function then? How do you do that?
Why? Well, wait a minute. I have low self-esteem, but I don't feel like shit.
I used to. That's unfair. I'm always assuming I'm in the wrong. If something negative comes through, I assume I deserve. You know, it's that kind of little bit shame-based stuff. It's not bad. It's not troubling to me. But when negativity comes through, it activates some of that stuff.
You know, it's a good, interesting thing. I was talking to my wife the other day, and we were just talking about some people and stuff in the past and things that happened. And she was saying, like, remember this guy did that? Man, that was a chicken shit move. Like, and then he did that to you. And yeah, that was uncalled for. And I was like, oh, yeah. I don't remember that. Oh, yeah. Now I remember. But I don't remember.
Right.
I literally don't remember many things that was done that negative to me by people that I'm friends with, like, today.
Is that because you feel like you deserved it at the time or something? Some weird...
I just have a weird thing where I don't know if it's – I can't say that I don't hold a grudge, but I don't – and it's not that I have a bad memory, but I just don't – and then they'll go, yeah, remember that thing he did with the email or whatever? That was horrible. And I'll go, oh, yeah, he didn't do that.
Like, holding a grudge is different because
– or it's not holding a grudge. I don't remember many of the – stupid things people have done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're very good at like getting on with business and being gentlemanly and collegial and right. I mean, that's you right.
You
put a value.
It's not
worth.
It's like they did it to somebody else. Yeah, it's not worth.
Well, but you're not interested in petty. What is
no?
Petty
but this stuff isn't petty sometimes. Yeah. But it's just moving on.
Does it depend on the person though? Like if it's a close friend, you kind of go, yeah, shit happens in weird relationships. It's fine. Or like it's someone distant. You're like, oh, I have three experiences with this person and one of them was negative. Yeah, I remember that. And it tainted my relationship with this
person. No, I know what it is. Drew will tell you about
TrueCar
and then I'll tell you what it is.
All right. This is tips. Remove your excess weight from the car. Improve your mileage. Place your key fob under your chin. Increase its range. If you're looking for your car in a parking lot, get lost. Another tip, TrueCar helps people with used cars as well as new cars. Used cars with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Of course, you get to enjoy that real pricing, so it's true price. It's actual inventory, so when you lock in the price, you're locked in on a specific vehicle and a simpler buying experience. Whether you want to buy new or used, you see what others paid, you see that scattergram, so you know what others are paying, you know you've got a good deal, you lock it in for an actual vehicle, and you know that price is competitive because the TrueCar certified dealers are competing for your business. They all want your business, they want you to enjoy a faster buying experience, and you will do so by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy that more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
I know why it doesn't stick with me. I rarely look at it as an attack.
Personal thing, yeah.
I look at it as something wrong with the other person.
Ah,
I look at it as
nice.
that when I see somebody does something like, you know, the thing where like they go like I go like, Jesus Christ, isn't Jordan's wife a bitch? And then I get an email from Jordan, you know, tonight going, hey, Dr. Drew came in and told me that you called my wife a bitch. I don't go, oh, why did I call his wife a bitch? I go, what's wrong with Dr. Drew? Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you?
And I don't remember it. Yeah, yeah. I go, what's wrong with him that he would do? Why would he do that? Now, I get it. If Jordan said, well, he slid over an attaché case filled with cocaine and Drew just took the money. Like, I get it, but unprovoked? Like, why did that person do that? And I go, well, then something's wrong with that person. And then I don't feel that bad about me. I feel bad that you found out. I don't like the fact that I'm having to send you an email going, oh, your wife's a lovely woman or whatever it is. Whatever I have to now get myself
now
out of.
I don't believe you.
But I won't remember the incident because the incident will go down with, what's wrong with Drew?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with you.
Something he's thinking all the time.
That's what I'm thinking all the time. All right, Jordan, are you married, Jordan?
I am, yeah.
She's a delight.
She's around here. She's the one who took a picture through the control room window.
She seems sweet as the day is long.
Better say that.
Jordan Harbinger. Everyone, the podcast, The Jordan Harbinger Show. New episodes every week on iTunes, Podcast One. Website, jordanharbinger.com is where you go. And you can go to amcroll.com, find out live shows, traveling the country, coming to Cleveland, Ohio, and Detroit, outside Detroit, and the state of Detroit, as we've previously discussed, and Portland and Seattle and all the good places. Check that out, Drew.
GoDrew.com for the family pods there, and I will be dragging my ass to Jordan's. I'm so sorry about the schedule.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
been a mess. So.
It's all right. It's only been like three years.
Three years?
More like
3 years.
Fantastic.
That's
right, good.
I can't wait.
So, until next time, I'm Crawford, Jordan Harbinger, and Dr. Drew saying mahalo.